All righty.
Yep.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's go, as always. First of all, everyone who may have just popped on, welcome to the call. This is a self-care before sit-ups. I believe this is our fourth. Is it our fourth? I've lost track.
It is.
It is our fourth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like losing track here. It's been going so flowing week after week. So let's start with our successes this week. I love to hear and have everyone just tune in on something that they have been successful with this week. So who would like to start, or should I just start with names?
Oh, I'll start, Amy.
Okay.
This is Sue. I've tried meditating, which I've never done before. I've done a little bit of yoga, but I don't know that that's really the same as meditating. And it's a little challenging, but it feels good once I get through the first few minutes. It takes a while for me to try to clear my mind, but that's been a good thing. And another good thing is that I've started clearing clutter.
Oh.
That really feels good.
Last week's call session made sense to you then.
It did, yeah. I think you wrote it for me.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Who's next?
This is Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
Successes. I did yoga one day this week, and I also went to the gym one day this week. So a good start.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, who next? Who'd like?
Well, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori.
And I actually meditated twice this week, which was very unusual for me. And I also am getting my closets organized. I mean, I'm actually having somebody come in and building, you know, shelving and getting it all, you know.
Wow. You just,
oh, my gosh.
In.
That's what I need. That's what
awesome.
I need.
It is so awesome. Yeah.
Wonderful. How is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else? We have Missy, Kelly, and Becky left on my list here of who's on the call.
I'll go next. This is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
I actually meditated 3 times this week. The first time was actually the easiest for some reason, and then the second and third time were a little bit harder. I had a hard time clearing my mind, and, you know, the thoughts would come, and I would try to just, you know, let them come and then push them away. Well, pushing them away wasn't always that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've actually also been starting to clear out the clutter.
Okay.
So, and my biggest thing is clutter in my bedroom, because that kind of ends up being the catch-all. If I don't know where to put it, I just kind of throw it in there. So that's kind of where I've been starting to clear my clutter. So I have one clutter-free room in the house.
Yay! All right. One thing to redirect on the meditating, if the thoughts keep coming back, is to focus on your breath.
Okay.
Instantly just focus your thoughts on breathing in and out. And that always helps redirect thinking and to get back on focus of seeing if you can just, you know, even if you can clear your thoughts for just a second, that's a step forward in meditation.
Okay.
So we think
great.
We have to clear our thoughts all the whole time. No. If it's just a second of just having that instant peace or clarity or just nothingness, so to speak, that's an achievement. So refocus on the breathing. That'll help.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Kelly or Missy?
Well, I just got back, so I
You've been out and about. Okay.
I've been out and about.
Missy, anything there for you?
I have a few small things, I guess, but I've been suffering from a migraine all week, so I haven't felt very self-nurturing other than to sit in a dark room whenever I can. But I was traveling earlier this week and did some exercises in my hotel room and tried some meditating and the plank yoga thing. That works really well for me. And I've been changing how I eat, and I have been eating a bigger breakfast, and actually I think eating less throughout the day because of it, just to get, I feel much more satisfied from the get-go. So
those are big changes. Okay. Anyone else pop on the line that would like to say hello and share a success? All right. I want to congratulate all of you on all your successes you've achieved week after week after week, and it seems to be coming along. What I'd like to know, my next question is for anyone to want to share. Has there been kind of a, I don't know if I want to say light bulb moment, or just a shift in change of thought, or some clarity of seeing something you've never noticed before that's helped you along with your big picture goals, especially with this people starting to declutter? That seems to hit some people that really is helpful. Where are we at with that? Has anyone had any shift in thought, any aha moment, looked at something totally differently that they've never really looked at in that way?
Well, this is Becky, and I've kind of had, it's been interesting for me because I started this program 2 weeks after everybody else did. So I sat down and did the first two lessons last week, and Amy, I had already kind of mentioned this to you, but I've kind of been able to, well, I haven't kind of, I've definitely been able to realize how much more attention I place on my family than I do myself. And it's interesting for me to see that I definitely do put those two first, mm-hmm. and put myself third, fourth, fifth, tenth on the list. So I've come to realize that I need to put myself farther on the top of my list instead of putting their needs before mine. I need to actually put mine before some of theirs.
How does that feel to you? Because that's a big step, because we've been taught to, you know, family first.
Honestly, it feels kind of wrong. <You know? laughs> I feel like I'm a bad mom.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my daughter's three, so I know that she still needs me. So it's kind of hard for me to be like, you know, try and do this on your own because I'm doing something else instead of dropping everything that I'm doing and taking care of her needs. So it's definitely a shift. And
today's topic will help you with that.
I hope so. Because, you know, sometimes it's easier to do it depending upon the situation than it is other times.
Okay. Anyone else?
This is Kelly, and I had been starting to declutter a couple years ago by another website called flylady.net.
Oh, yes, I like her.
And she really, the one thing that was an aha moment for me is that it never takes as long as I think it's going to take. You put in your mind that something's going to take longer so that you avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that her mantra is you can do anything in 15 minutes.
Okay.
And to set your timer. And so that was an aha moment for me back when I was decluttering, and it's been very freeing to know that. Things really don't take as long as I put in my mind they're going to take. It doesn't take a whole Saturday to get something done. But if I do a little bit at a time, that decluttering is much easier.
All right. Okay. I would like to go ahead and start on kind of taking a moment and sitting back. I'm going to take you through a little meditation or a visualization. And see how, and kind of go in from there. I'd like you to, as hard as us that are in Minnesota right now, imagine a warm summer day and a clear blue sky. And I'd like you to go ahead and imagine you're looking at planting a rose garden, or you have your rose garden coming up. Smell it, visualize it, embrace it. Does your rose garden have rose bushes of all your favorite colors or just one? Allow the roses to represent a new season of life, of growth. And how do you nurture your rose garden? Do weeds sometimes pop up, and do you let them grow and choke out your rose bush, or do we weed the garden to allow the roses to reach their fullest blossom? So taking into that just short visualization, I like to kind of start on pruning our and limiting beliefs talk. When we start the rose garden, we may weed it in the beginning to use to have the best intention of having a perfect garden without weeds and wonderful roses. How many of us can relate to wanting things perfect or just right? Maybe we do the best we can, and it doesn't seem to be doing any good or never good enough. Therefore, we may stop altogether and shrug our shoulders in defeat. How many of us have been looking at exercising and the scale doesn't show, the clothes don't fit any better, and we just kind of fall in defeat? What thoughts come to mind as you direct us to feeling of discontinuing the weeding of our garden that may lead to the behavior of not weeding it at all to results of the garden full of weeds versus roses? How about weeding your garden a little bit at a time, but being consistent and seeing the roses bloom maybe with just a few weeds, such as Kelly, who shared decluttering just a little bit at a time, setting the timer up and just doing a little bit. Last week I talked about just taking a corner and doing that much. Exercising maybe just 10 minutes versus 60 minutes.
Because we want instant.
We want instant.
Yeah. I want it to happen right now, and I don't
want to. So that's going to lead into our thoughts. So you can relate to the overgrown garden when thinking of past weight loss fitness goals. And we have that, you know, we want that instant result, but also that falls into that all or nothing. If I'm not going to get any results at all, then I'm not going to do anything. Or if I miss a workout, then I'm not going to go, you know, then you just kind of, oh, what's the use? I already missed it. I ruined it. Or the diet that you're going to start on Monday, you did well on Monday and Tuesday, flubbed up. Or you flubbed up on the weekend. We drop into that, fall into that all or nothing thinking. And we let it go. And how can we be more self-nurturing to ourselves to let it be little baby steps and being consistent? And the more we nurture ourselves, the bigger steps we can take. You know, what would be a simple goal to help you with your bigger picture goal, your intention? What would be a daily task that you could do to accomplish this goal? Going back to the rose garden, the goal is to grow roses. The bigger picture, the intention, may be just to help you have a beautiful yard that you can enjoy all summer long. Or you can go and just sit at your garden and just go out there for a few minutes and just smell the roses. I mean, what's the big intention of having the rose garden? The goal is to make a nice rose garden. What's the big intention? The daily task would be maybe to hire a gardener to weed it on a weekly basis, yourself garden it maybe twice a week, water it daily or every other day to fertilize it and to prune the rose bushes. But what happens once we get busy and other things come up that seem more pressing or more fun? And we have a tendency to fall back on our old habits, however unhealthy they may be, but they are familiar and they're comforting because they're familiar. We know it. Realize refraining ourselves from repeating comfortable habits actually retains a positive energy within us. Realize refraining ourselves from repeating comfortable habits actually retains a positive energy within us. When you feel uncomfortable, that's a good sign that change is occurring. This energy allows us to be aware, to focus on our inner wisdom, and bringing it to the forefront. Committing to the daily work and awareness of our thoughts and actions help us to live our big picture goal, our intention, a healthy, fit lifestyle, a healthy, fit body, versus setting out to achieve an end result, lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds. Okay? So once we start the process of weeding, looking at our thoughts to make a better choices for ourselves, we start to live the big picture goal. The intention It is the process of living how we want to be versus what we want to achieve. A leap of faith. When I work with my dieters who have been dieting all their lives and want to break away from emotional eating and diet thinking, I use one of the most powerful tools, and I use it even for my fitness, is the power of our thoughts. Our thoughts we think of as nothing, but there is an energy out there. Because if you have an idea that comes to you, we haven't got to the chapter of spirit, but if God places an idea or something that really makes you happy and excited, and then all of a sudden you start to take steps to achieving that, and all of a sudden you have achieved it, that thought, that idea was extremely powerful, and it has produced an object of something. The rose garden, the healthy body, the better, nurturing, more patient mom, whatever it may be. So the tool is thoughts lead to feelings that lead to action that lead to a result. So with Becky's example of really taking time for herself and putting herself a little higher on the priority list, and she's feeling wrong, she's feeling uncomfortable, to check into what you are thinking. And is that thinking a belief that honors you or not?
Can you give an example?
Let's go ahead with Becky's example of putting herself on the priority list. And she is thinking, no, I probably should go help my 3-year-old daughter more. I should go and do this, go and do that. I should help her, you know, with whatever it is. And if she does that versus taking some time out for herself just to take and just relax and take a deep breath, whatever it may be, she'll keep pushing herself and having that chronic stress of doing, 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 doing. Okay? The feeling is more comfort because you're nurturing your daughter instead of, you're helping your daughter. That's the action. The result is that you're still not able to relax, release the stress, take time for yourself to maybe do a workout. So the result is you still don't lose the weight. You're still not taking time out for yourself to lose the weight. It would be an example. Now, this uncomfortable feeling of how wrong it is, that does not feel comfortable, goes into, let me take out time for myself, let me get a workout in. So your thought is, nope, I'm going to take this time for me and get the workout in. The feeling is a little bit of guilt by not helping the daughter, but after the workout, you are feeling really good, proud of yourself, energetic, feel more alive, feel more alert. So the action was the exercise. The result is you're taking those steps to lose weight. Now, if the thought, let me think. Now, if the thought of taking that uncomfortable feeling at first honors the belief in you that I need to do and take care of my daughter, honors the belief that I need to be the best mom that I can be, you're constantly on the go and depleting and exhausting. But if you honor your belief, Liz, like, no, I need to take care of myself first, get the workout in, do something for myself, help me lose weight, feel good about myself, then help my daughter, where are you going to be at? You're probably going to be a lot more patient with your daughter. You're going to be more focused on helping your daughter. You're going to be more present and not thinking of when am I going to get that workout in, how I'm just going to have to give that up again, going into that all or nothing thinking, this just isn't working for me, I just can't do this at the time of my life, I'm just going to have to do this, and you go and you continue that cycle. Does that make sense to everyone, or am I confusing?
It makes sense. Is that statement about the uncomfortable in the book?
Nope.
Okay.
So write it down.
Yes.
Yeah. Write it down.
Say it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me find my, okay. Realize refraining ourselves from repeating comfortable habits usually retains a positive energy within us.
Yeah.
Falling back on our old habits, however unhealthy they may be, can feel comforting because they are familiar. We know what to expect. We don't know what to expect when we start nurturing ourselves and taking time for ourselves until we actually start doing it and then start feeling really good and have that ripple effect. Ripple effect was on a previous chapter. And that ripple effect is, you know, you put the pebble in the water and you see the ripples all along the water. If you put yourself first, and have a positive ripple effect. It's not just taking care of yourself just for yourself, but also it affects on how you treat your children, your husband, your colleagues, the way you are at work, the way you are with friends. When you start nurturing yourself and feeling better about yourself and letting yourself just be versus constantly doing, you're going to have a positive ripple effect not on in all areas of your life, not just you personally.
Okay, so if it's emotional eating that's triggering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I need to understand, and I think this goes along with it, is that by being in that uncomfortable position and then choosing to do something other than eat or other than not
mm-hmm.
exercise,
mm-hmm.
that's the positive energy.
That's the positive
will come
energy.
Will come from not going back into the comfortable feeling of eating. I mean, you know, so do I need to face the whatever it is that's causing me, you know, do I have to understand where that is coming from and face it, or can I just, I don't know if I can.
If you are understanding your feeling.
Right.
Then you can ask yourself, what do I need?
Right.
Because right now you may feel a sense of hopelessness, and you might stuff it with chocolate.
Yeah.
But if you understand your feeling of hopelessness, so what do I need, you have to ask yourself. And that's very all individualized, because not everyone is going to have the same need. If it's, you know, self-love,
right, right.
if it's whatever it is, respect, confidence,
right.
just a hug or
right.
whatever, then that will lead to the action
okay.
versus the chocolate. Because the chocolate is familiar, it's comfortable, it feels good, instant gratification. Going back to that instant.
Mm-hmm.
So changing that and going into a different action will lead to a different result, would it not? If you could
Got
cut
it.
The chocolate out, little by little, that would help decrease calories, right? And if you take
right.
an action that's more positive and fulfilling to your need, that would also release and let you be more and improve. Was that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. I just pulled up one of my PowerPoints. An example would be, I ate too much again tonight. That's the thought. The feeling is it's hopeless. The belief is it'll never be able to lose weight. You have to ask yourself, is that based on truth? No, that's just how I feel. Does this honor you? No, if I keep doing this. You know, so what emotions drove you to overeat in the first place?
Right,
because of hopelessness.
Right. That's my question.
Mm-hmm. So understand where your feelings are.
Yeah.
So what if you know and you just don't want to deal with it?
Yeah.
That's avoidance. And you have to ask yourself, you know, how is avoiding going to honor me? Because, yeah, you can stay put year after year after year and never deal with what the true issues are. And that's comforting. That's familiar. You know what to expect, but you want to lose weight, but you're like, but not wanting it enough to stop this avoidance scenario. You see what I mean about when going back to the earlier weeks of classes where I said wanting versus actually doing?
Yeah.
Does that help?
What if it's a real personal issue of something traumatic that happened to you when you were thinner and you start losing weight, and those feelings keep coming up again, like, oh, I'll get raped again, or you know what I mean, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And their friends are all, when I have a client that's had those issues from way back when, early childhood, whatever it may be, I defer to a counselor or a psychologist or somebody that can help you with that. But that person will help you with the avoidance issue. But when it comes to that, it's kind of like face the fear. And you have to ask yourself, is it, does it honor me? Is there a true belief that any time and every time I get thin that I'm going to get raped? Not really. That's not a true belief. It may feel very true to you, but is it a truth?
No. Not when you hear someone else say it.
Not when you hear someone else say it, right?
Well, yeah. You know, it seems totally ridiculous.
But it's a traumatic point in that person's life that would, there's fear. And we eat over fear, tired, anger, joy, mad, glad, tired, anger, and fear. Those are the five main emotions that we eat over. So when it's fear, you know, you either need some more counseling to help you take those baby steps, to look at it differently, find a thought that would be more honoring to you, and a feeling that is a more positive feeling versus the fear. Because fear will hold you still. It will paralyze you. And you'll always wonder, why can't I lose the weight? I'm exercising, I'm eating right, I'm dieting, I'm doing everything right. And it's not the cookie cutter approach, because everyone's very individualized. So you need to go, what is the feeling? Does that belief honor me or not? Is it a true belief? And what behaviors and action steps am I taking? Did that make sense?
Very much so.
Okay.
Amy, I have a question for you.
Yep.
This is Becky. I'm not a big snacker at night until my daughter goes to bed and my husband goes off and does his thing and I'm left alone. So there I am on the couch with the TV, my blanket, and suddenly now I need to snack.
Okay.
You know, I'm busy all night long doing something, and suddenly when I get time to myself, that's the first thing that I do.
Because wouldn't it be unusual and uncomfortable to just sit quietly without having a purpose or something to do?
Yes.
Because if we sit and do nothing, holy cow, that is feeling a lot of guilt, or I should be doing this, and you go into that should be talking. But if you have something in your hand and say, no, I can't go and eat this food and wash dishes at the same time. So we have a tendency to, if we sit, we feel we need to be doing something, being productive, but if we sit and have purpose of eating, that gives us the belief that it's okay to sit because I'm doing something.
Yep.
Does that hit home?
No. I need a hobby.
So I would change that. What do you need? And if it is a hobby, if that's coming to you and that feels like you, then what do you do? You know,
I'm also wondering, because I think I get triggered by that as well, but is it also being alone? Is it
loneliness?
Is it being lonely?
Yes,
yeah,
loneliness.
And not knowing that that's what it is. You know, I've kind of wondered that too, because, you know, there's people around all night long, and then suddenly everybody's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm here by myself.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
Because I think that's something,
that's very common as well.
I realized that for me. Is it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Well, you're going. You're constantly doing. You don't know what it's like to just sit. That's why I'm having you guys do Melda's meditation. Because it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Just sitting there, you're like, and your mind goes a million miles, and you're just like, no, I got to be doing this. Okay, I'm going to set the timer. I'm going to do at least 5 minutes. I'm going to do 10 minutes, you know, and then boom, you're off doing something. And it is so uncomfortable to sit and do nothing. And then you wonder if it's a sense of loneliness.
Yeah.
But I you
so
know.
So then what do you do then with that loneliness?
Ask yourself, what do you need? What do you need? Is it a hug from your husband? Is it a romantic date once a week or once a month? Is it, you know, is it a hobby to feel self-worth? You know, what, and that is homework for you. If you are at that point where you're getting it and you're like, okay, and you get your feelings, because some people take forever to figure out what I'm feeling, especially if you're a logical person. This feeling stuff, you're like over your head. Anyone that's logical on the class right now, you're like, can we just move on right now? Okay? Because the feeling stuff is like, ugh. So if you can't figure it out, say, I, you know, go back to, you know, what do I think? I'm eating this because.
Yep.
Okay? So it's going back to, I feel blank because. I think blank because. So if you're logical, instead of use the word feel, use the word think for now. You have to tap into your emotions. And that comes back to, you know, to really, truly change, you have to work from the inside out. I'll repeat that again. For true change to occur, it's not the exercise and the dieting or the intuitive eating or being mindful. It is working from the inside out. Can everyone kind of see working from you finding your core values to finding where you, how your balance in life, you know, where you are in the whole categories of the balance wheel, to figuring out tolerations, to right now where I'm talking about thoughts, feelings, actions, and results. Can you kind of see how all of this is interplaying together, and it's not about, Amy, just teach me how to get a better intensity workout in. Amy, just teach me what I need to eat and how much to eat and when to eat. It is all from the inside first. And recognizing what our thoughts are, what our feelings are that are driving these past behaviors and actions that have never led you to the true results that you've always wanting or wishing or striving for. Does that make sense?
Just getting there.
It's just getting there. So this whole self-care before sit-ups is what I believe every person that's been trying to lose weight for a year, years, since childhood, all taps back into the self-care. Because we are not like, you know, our moms and grandmas, where we, you know, our moms maybe stayed home and did all the laundry and kept the rooms clean and made those homemade meals. And us kids didn't have hockey practices umpteen days a week, umpteen hours, and then games on Saturdays and all the weekends, or basketball, or all these activities. And so this, in these days, we are working part-time, full-time, we bring full-time moms, and we're taking these our kids every which direction to go. And we're like, how did my mom ever handle this? How, you know, I'm exhausted all the time. I'm just so tired. And my gosh, what is happening to my body? My stomach is going out to here, and I gained 20 pounds this year. How in the hell did that happen?
And I want to take a nap.
Am I, you know, am I hitting home here? And so it, oh, we all need to drive back into what our core values are. Where are we in our life? What is out of sync? And what are we telling ourselves? Are we feeling guilty and bad because we're saying, kids, leave me alone. I need to get this done. I need to be focused on me. Honey, can you just maybe do supper tonight? I really would like to just get a workout in. Or, kids, bedtime at 8, I'm done, I'm going to go read a book. I'm having my own quiet time. And it all comes back to that self-nurturing. What do I need? Where are my thoughts? And, you know, putting myself on the priority list and saying I'm not going to feel bad about taking some time for myself. And when I work with moms on this and on the whole self-nurturing, fitness, in exercising, and I talk about the ripple effect, and it all, you know, and we start doing it, I go, how are you treating your kids in the evenings and mornings lately, these past few weeks? Oh, my gosh, there's less arguing in the house. I find myself so much more patient. things are running a little smoother in my house now. That old saying, if mom's not happy, nobody's happy, right there. You get happy in self-nurturing yourself, things will have a positive ripple effect. Read the section on the pitcher, filling, you know, the crystal water pitcher, and we're constantly filling our cups. What can we do to fill our pitcher back up, our water back up? Nurturing ourselves. Pruning out some of these cups. Pruning is defined to do less and accomplish more. Cutting out the part of your life that is not serving you, at least not enough to lead the life you want. So what happens when you don't prune your bushes? Going back to the rose garden, they might grow and look nice, but could they be prettier, larger, more of them? So if we prune, don't our roses go larger, more colorful, more vibrant? What can you prune out that already seems good for you, but once you leave it, would
give
you...
Yeah, but I don't want to grow larger.
prettier.
Okay, I'll grow prettier. There we go.
What, and give yourself more time to accomplish more for yourself. Letting go. Letting go of saying yes to everybody and everything. Allowing more energy for yourself, for the things that you love, your family, your children, your hobbies. Exercise may give you the opportunity to reduce the stress in your body. Our adrenal glands are on getting depleted if we constantly are going. Go, go, go. That's that chronic stress. So look at what you can prune out. Look at your thoughts and how you feel when you're having certain thoughts, and if those thoughts are honoring you, if it's a true belief or something you just think you should do. And change that positive change. If you think you're going down to that negative self-talk, switch it. Focus it on a positive self-talk. Can you stay in a positive, strengthening thought for 7 seconds? You know, how many of us get a compliment and we just kind of brush it off and go, oh, that's nothing? Embrace that compliment. Feel good about that compliment. Don't just brush it off. Find a mantra, if you need to just help yourself get through that tough time when you find yourself going down past roads that have led to the results that you're not looking for. What is a positive thought, positive mantra, an affirmation? And see if you can hold it for 7 seconds. Okay? What other questions do you guys have? I talked about thoughts, that whole scenario, thoughts, leads, feelings, behaviors, results. Talked about pruning. We talked about toleration, balance. How do we let go of some of the things that are not honoring us, letting go to do less and accomplish more, cutting out the part of your life that may not be serving you. But, you know, you may feel very good at what you're doing right now, but could you feel better by doing a little bit less? You know, we had someone that was on the call, and I can't remember who it was, a people pleaser. Constantly doing for others. Yes, 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 I'd love to. You feel good doing it. You like the pat on the back, the thank yous. That is all, it allows really good feelings when you get that. But in the long run, when you're done and you walk away and you're like, oh, I'm so tired. And then someone comes along and you go, can you? Could you? Would you? You say yes, and then you, that whole cycle, you enjoy the feeling of getting the pat on the back, but in the long run, is that honoring you? In the long run, is that helping you? In the long run, is that really serving you? All right, what other questions do we have? I have about 3 more minutes here, according to my clock. All right, then. So this week, read the, if you haven't read the self-nurturing, read that chapter. Focus on what you may be able to prune out, to let go, and pay attention to your thoughts and what those thought, what feelings lead to those thoughts. Is it positive or self? Negative. Another thing to look at is if you, I did a teleclass on how to feel sexy in that black dress, even if you never have before. I don't know how many were on that call. But there I talk a lot about the self-negative thoughts and how to counter-argue them. So if you haven't listened to that particular class, I will send you the link to that. And you can listen, again, it's on thoughts and feelings, actions and results. Another one that's really good to listen to is that I sent to everyone is how to hit your body-shaping goals with absolute certainty. That's all about habits and that getting uncomfortable feeling, trying on new habits, how the old habits are very comfortable. They're ingrained in our brain. Can't get rid of the old habits, but you can replace them. That's an excellent call to listen to as well. So this week, I would just say if you can get on some of the other, listen to the those links that I sent you and listen to those because those are, this is what I mean about this class. I could have went any and every direction with this particular class. And that's why I asked a lot of questions at the beginning to help me kind of direct what your needs are. So, anyways, why don't we try that for this week? Email me with anything, and I will look at my schedule, and I'll email for open coaching, open gym coaching for next week. For those of you that are working on this, I think I hit an helps a lot of people with the thoughts, feelings, action, results. If you want more specific to you, use those open gym coaching hours, and we can do some individual coaching with you. So take up that opportunity. Okay. All right. I wish everyone a wonderful weekend. Make it a positive day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.